It is not debatable that since the Occupy Wall Street protests began, they have taken their share of the headlines. They've become national and global in scope to a certain extent. But what's going on now? We reported in the newscast a wedding that took place in Zuccotti Park over the weekend at the Occupy Wall Street protest here in New York. Is that a sign that these protests are becoming a sideshow or a sign that this movement is just beginning? Joining us now is Charles C.W. Cook, who's a writer for the National Review, who's been covering the Zuccotti Park protests for the last 6 weeks. Charles, good morning.
Good morning.
What would you say, reporting on a wedding that took place, there have also been reports around the country of crime in some of these places, an outbreak of tuberculosis in Atlanta, arrests in Portland, Denver, and Albany and Salt Lake City. Where do you think things stand? Is this a sideshow or a movement?
I don't think it's a movement. I mean, I don't think a wedding is an inherently bad thing. I mean, that sort of thing will happen. I wouldn't get married after 6 weeks, but that is to their own. The other elements you mentioned, though, the murders and the rapes and the tuberculosis and the rioting are, I think, the product of the Occupy Wall Street movement beginning to eat itself. Certainly down in New York, I've seen a dramatic change since September 17th. It was never united. It was always a group of different people who flooded in, disaffected people who had a wide range of issues. There's never been a central theme. Perhaps a park is cheaper than a convention center. But now you have real tension between the various factions. I've noticed down there some people say, well, there are hangers-on, there are homeless people, there are people who just come here to commit crime. The official representative in New York told me that only 50% of the people there had anything to do with the movement at all. And that's not I just use the word movement, I suppose. I've been watching the news too much, but had anything to do with the original gripe. And that's a recipe for disaster.
We're talking with Charles C.W. Cook, who's a writer for the National Review, who's been following the Occupy Wall Street protests since the beginning. Alon Ben-Meir joins us, who's a professor of international relations at the Center for Global Affairs at NYU. Is the specific location of the protests perhaps only part of the story, Alon Ben-Meir?
I don't know if it is necessarily the location, but certainly the location is symbolic, specifically when it comes to New York. But, you know, to suggest that this is just a gathering of nobodies, homeless and drug addicts and things of this sort, I think it's, I characterize it as probably to some extent even outrageous. You know, we're witnessing these kind of movements, not just in New York now. You go to many democracies around the world. You know, you take Israel, for example, 450,000, that's more than 10% of the Jewish population there went out into the street. You see events like this all over Europe. And to suggest this is just disorganized, disenchanted people simply going out because they have no place to go, no place to sleep, it's just not the truth. It's not the reality. You have what we are witnessing, in my view, is the beginning, certainly not the end, of people who are extremely unhappy with the system. Our political system, the way it's been operating, especially in the last decades, it's simply not working. Not working for them. You know, when you have this type of deadlock in government, when Republicans and Democrats cannot possibly agree just about on anything, to begin to alleviate the financial conditions that we have been witnessing here in the United States, it's not acceptable.
Well, in fact, the frustration, I think, is clear and has been expressed on all sides of the political spectrum. We're talking with Alon Ben-Meir, who's a professor of international relations at the Center for Global Affairs at NYU. Also with us is Charles C.W. Cook, a writer for the National Review. I could say to both of you that, in a sense, you can look at the Occupy Wall Street protests and see whatever you want to see. And one might suggest that the National Review would be inclined to look for everything to discredit the movement, whereas a perhaps left-leaning professor at NYU would be more likely to see a movement that he perhaps yearns for.
I don't think this has anything to do with left or right. First of all, I'm not an ideologue. I go with issues. I do not support the Republicans because they are I'm on the left, or support the Democrat because I lean otherwise. That is absolutely not the case. I go with issues. This is not an isolated matter, and it's not going to end tomorrow. So we can, you know, we can keep talking about these people, you know, drug addicts and homeless and all of that. Well, we have had drug addicts and homeless all along. This is not a new phenomenon.
All right, let's get a response from Charles C.W. Cook. Charles?
Well, firstly, people on the left always claim that they're nonpartisan. It's just inherent to the movement. But in terms of the homeless element, I'm not suggesting all of these people are homeless, and I'm not suggesting they have nowhere to sleep and all of them are drug addicts. However, it is obvious that people who have a gripe about something, be it 9/11 truth, be it the Federal Reserve, and in this regard, the professor is correct that this isn't about left or right. The Federal Reserve is a Ron Paul issue. It's something people on the right tend to bring up. Or whether it's the banks, whether it's Glass-Steagall, whether it's Citizens United, they've all poured into this park. But this is not like the civil rights movement where the issue and the cause was very clear and people all got behind it. This is a little bit like putting up a flag saying, here is where people who are upset about something can congregate, and that's exactly what happened. And there's no inherent virtue in that. I mean, they were previously diffuse, now they're in one place.
All right, let's get a response from Professor Ben Mayer.
Well, you know, you can characterize them any way you want. The fact remains... In fact, they are there. They have been there now for months. And the people, government, the press are beginning to pay attention. This is a movement. That is, it may not be characterized as a movement. It's not a civil rights movement. I agree with that. But you start with something. This is perhaps the beginning of a spark. The system is not working for them. When you have this many people getting richer by the day, and this many hundreds of thousands, millions are getting poorer, when you have 10% and a consistent 10% around that number, unemployment is steadily, and very little has been done about it, there's a deadlock in government. That is when the gap between rich and poor is consistently growing.
Indeed, and that is certainly the language on both sides of the political aisle. Two voices of the Occupy Wall Street protests. What do you think? Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or post a comment at thetakeaway.org. Where is the movement at this point? Is it even a movement? We're dying to hear from you as well. We talked with Charles C.W. Cook, writer for the National Review, who's been covering Zuccotti Park, and Elon Ben Mayer, professor of international relations at the Center for Global Affairs at NYU. Thanks to both of you, gentlemen.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.